Blog Talk Radio.
Get up again and smile. Get up again and smile.
That was Patrick Adams' Smile live on Our Black News. I'm Don Allen, and broadcasting live with me here is my co-host, compadre, Mason in the Morning, Mason Live, Mason Everywhere, Jonathan Mason. Hey, what's going on, man?
Ben, how you doing?
Okay. And it looks like here we got a late bloomer who has some commentary that begged to get in. So we have another special co-host to join Jonathan and I, if he can ever get in. It's going to be Mr. Anthony Scott, and he's plugged in there. We'll wait to see how long it takes his computer to jump. Ah, snap. There it goes. Here comes Anthony, if he can get his computer. There he goes. We see you, man. How you doing? Good morning, sir. He is connecting to audio. We'll wait till he connects to audio. This was a very interesting week this week, you guys, with the shooting of the GOP activists for the Lacey Johnson campaign. And if Lacey Johnson or one of his compadres are listening, you're welcome to call in. Anybody from the GOP can call in. Our number here today on Blog Talk Radio is 347-426-3904. Again, that number is 347-426-3904, and it's also on the streaming live on Facebook, and the phone number's there. We'd like you to call in if you if you'd like to call in. Isn't that a picture of you, Jonathan? Oh yeah, that is you. Okay, yeah. Okay, so we were bouncing around here. Whenever you turn your camera off, I guess you bounce around, but that's okay. We're here. Welcome, you guys. Like I said, it was a crazy week. This week with all the shootings, and then the shooting of the GOP intern or whatever they're calling him now. Our condolences to Andre's family, his friends, his school, Patrick Henry, and North. You know, Minneapolis Public Schools lost another child with a senseless shooting, and I haven't heard an update. What about you guys? Has anybody been arrested yet?
I haven't heard about any arrest. I know that that day was on Darling and Fremont. I actually was driving and heard shot, so that's why many people see my live feed. I went over there.
Mm-hmm.
And when I went over there, I seen the crime tape. I seen, obviously, the body. They got up, but there were people there who reported the incident. That a guy ran up to the alley. Shot both of the individuals, Andre, 17, who died, and the other individual, who was 20, who, by God's grace, made it. But this is, and then we heard it was Lacey Johnson's ground team within the Minneapolis area that I guess went door to door with him, the youth volunteers or whatever the title may be. But it's very unfortunate with this gang violence, and I know that you've been questioning the GOP. We're trying to hear back from what's going on with them with the gun violence as well. It's been a talking point of the GOP for so long, but now it's actually hit home, per se. And so what's going to be the response, and when are the killers are going to – when are we going to see – you know, wanted posters. When are we going to see these individuals apprehended? Because we see this violence within our communities all the time. We speak about it, but what is actually happening?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Anthony, your thoughts quickly here.
Well, you know, it's as Jonathan was saying, you know, what I see as I look at these things is so sad, but the inactivity of the police, the inactivity of the council, the police, the mayors, I mean, this is an all hands on deck type of a thing. And, you know, Don, in relation to that, I want to ask you, did you happen to see the principal that I believe was at the site who just, actually there was many school educators, principals at the site, and I can't think of the particular principal's name right now.
Lee David, Miss Lee David, yeah.
She had a very, very you know, just said the city's out of control. I mean, she really said, you know, what are we supposed to do with schools, with are they going to be in school, are they not going to be in school, and the mixed messages that everyone's getting. It's just chaotic right now, and I just, we are just in a rudderless situation. It's going to be up to us people like Jonathan, this program, and I want to really commend Jonathan because he's reached a level of, I'm sure they call him toxicity. I mean, he's even glowing. When he comes in, he's just glowing to get these things done, and this is the kind of passion that we need to turn this around. But I wanted to know, Don, did you hear that principle at all?
Yeah, I listened to the video, and, you know, she's pretty passionate. She did the video or the show on Carrie Levin with Nellie Stone School. It was very interesting what she had to say, and it's very interesting. I think Minneapolis has been kind of reactionary, but that particular principle is on point with what she's doing and trying to bring attention to what we've been talking about here for many years of this violence and this stuff going on that doesn't make any sense in our community. You know, these young kids are being shot, killed, maimed, paralyzed, and we just have to break down and say it. We have to tell people what it is. It's black-on-black crime. How do we stop black-on-black crime in the community? I was talking to a gentleman last night on the phone who said that maybe we should sit down with the GOP and get a list of the top 10 things that are crazy in our community that we need to address. And then walk them around to these GOP candidates, to these GOP elected officials, but not only that, to the community and the liberals, the Democrats, the left side, because there's obviously some things that are happening that shouldn't be happening, you know, with these killings, with this continued black-on-black crime. There was no KKK man that came down the alley and shot those kids, that 20-year-old, and killed that 17-year-old. That wasn't an extremist. You know, this was someone that they might have known in the community. But then again, we have a responsibility on the side of the Minnesota GOP and that candidate, Mr. Lacey Johnson, to explain what's the process for these interns, how were they acquired, and what were they doing the day before? You know, were they on that corner waving Lacey and Trump signs the day before? Did someone get angry enough to shoot them? Or was it something else that went on? And if these guys were door knockers, were they interns or were they security? That's what I'm trying to find out. Go ahead, Jonathan.
And Don, you really hit on some major points. You know, I pray that this is somebody who said, oh, man, look at these kids. They're working with a Republican, and that's Donald Trump people, and they're sellouts or whatever the case may be. And I don't want to assume that it's gang activity, but we know that it wasn't a white extremist who did it. And so, like, when you were talking on these activities that are going on in the, you know, in the our neck of the woods, not mine per se, sometimes, you know, it's in my area, I'm on the north side, but it is in, you know, certain, you know, particular areas. Lindale and Broadway, 21st and right off of Lindale is a hot spot.
Yeah.
But now we're seeing this violence all throughout the Twin Cities.
True.
And I know that businesses are really afraid to be downtown Minneapolis right now. They're leaving. And so, like you said, what do we do as far as talk to leadership within Minneapolis, Minnesota, or Minnesota at all? Do we talk to the GOP? Even with me, there has not been any change. I don't care if it's Obama. I don't care if it's going to be Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, anybody. There hasn't been any change within the North Side, South Side, East St. Paul area. So it's now I'm now challenging the GOP to say, look at this opportunity. If you're willing to work with black men, black women, those who have an economic plan to say, this is how you combat the violence, we need money to combat these liberal ideas, because really at the end of the day, I look at the ideas within Minnesota, especially particularly in Hennepin County within the Minneapolis area, and let me tell you, they do not have a plan at all to combat any of this, and the problem is they're actually not listening to those within the community. And so if the GOP just says, hold on, let me see if I can listen to a couple of these business leaders, a couple of these activists, a couple of these individuals who are community leaders to say, what is their plan? I just want to hear what their plan us. It doesn't matter your color or your skin when there's an economic plan. I just know that the NAACP and the Urban League, there is no economic plan for us. And I'll say it, I know the leader. I know who's the vice president. And it's no disrespectful, and I got love for him. But at the end of the day, what is your agenda this Monday? This Monday morning saying, these are the goals and tasks that I need done. I need these people within the community. I will pay you to get these things done. NAACP, are you getting money? Or can you get money from the state government? Can you get it from the federal government? Where are these monies coming from? We need money. We need sustainability. But we don't have any leadership. This is what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
People are trying to take pictures and all this, and I'm tired of it. And so that's why when I tell you, I'll go body to body. I'll go, when I get the complete, once I get community oversight, I have transparency and accountability within the police department. People within the hood, gangsters or people shooting up and doing all these killings, they're not going to like me because now I'm going to be running around with the police officers and we're going house by house and we're getting these criminals out of our area because there's kids. I did see the principal over at Golly at the gas station, the Super USA, and she was talking about, you know, where are these leaders at, what's going on, and I totally feel her on this, right? But what are we doing within our school districts? What are we doing right now? We're in a place, because when I look at the disparity rates within Minneapolis Public Schools, 2 out of 5 kids who graduate in Minneapolis Public Schools that are black can't read or can't do math. So
yeah.
What in the hell are we doing with the $550 million budget?
Yeah, exactly. You hit on something really excellent there because I asked the president of the Minneapolis Urban League, Mr. Steve Belton, to come on the air with us today and kind of explain what the plan was, and he said, I respectfully decline.
I know, I see that. You sent me the email, and that's, how much we have time on a Saturday to speak with individuals for 10 minutes to uplift and start bringing your community into a better area. It's absolutely disgusting, and it's bad. It's absolutely
Yeah, before we get to Anthony for his comment, I would like to tell everybody that's tuning in right now, thank you for tuning in. You're listening to Our Black News via Blog Talk Radio, broadcast live on Facebook Live. Our call-in number today is 347-426-3904. Again, that call-in number is 347-426-3904. If you have any questions, comments, challenges, or concerns, we invite you to call that live listener number. We are live on the air on Blog Talk Radio via Facebook Live. So, Mr. Anthony Scott, what are your concerns, or what do you see happening in Minneapolis and St. Paul?
You know, I think really, you know, Jonathan is just running this thing down. I mean, he's right on the front lines of this thing, and we have to really be appreciative of what this young man is doing. But when I look from the outside, and I'm looking at where this money is going, because money is flowing. Now,
yes.
Money is flowing. Don't think that they don't have any money. They got pockets full of money, and it's going to places. And it's going to places like, especially on the north side. They seem to be really focusing on the north side of Minneapolis. Nothing on the south side that I see as far as initiatives, or I don't see any organization on the south side of Minneapolis, which is scary.
Mm-hmm.
But what I do see is on the north side, things like this North Side Empowerment Center, something called NEON. There's an organization, I can't remember what the acronyms are, Don. Maybe you know what NEON is, N-E-O-N.
Northside Economic Opportunity Network.
Yeah, and it looks like they have a whole staff of people. They have all these different, some of the names seem to be the same names that continue to pop up, like with the old Mita. There's a gentleman, I can't think, Warren something or other, that these people have always been around, but where is the results? As we keep saying, the money they're getting, these people are getting funded. They have staffs. They have this Northside Department. I went in there to try to get to do some work with me. Oh, they were too busy, but they had tubes lined up with all types of people in there. And I'm like, well, what are they doing?
They're not doing anything.
Yeah. We're not seeing any results.
Yeah.
That's my observation.
And you know what? The thing is, you can have those big nonprofit agencies in North Minneapolis and St. Paul, and you can have a lot of people working there. But to be honest, we all know we're all professionals in our own field. And we know if you pay someone $25,000 a year to work at one of these nonprofits, that's not a lot of money. And what is the incentive for someone making $25,000 a year to go out and help people make more than that?
Absolutely nothing, Don.
Yeah.
And nothing. And so, we do Jersey at 3M and Cargill. But now, where are the patrons? Where are the individuals now getting in these offices and saying, hold on, what are the initiatives? What do we have planned? And so as gentrification and these things are coming, what is the plan? And so that's why I'm actually currently putting a plan together to now do a huge economic initiative for Northside and Southside Minneapolis in St. Paul and areas of St. Paul, where we're going to put training and curriculum together for men and women all throughout the Twin Cities that are able to, you know, use their skill set through, you know, educational programs that we create. I'm going to try to create programs, and then what we do is we train these individuals on an expedited route. So you get your certificate, you get your little diploma degree within 6 to 12 weeks of the skills that we've taught you, because if you can learn how to do Google, if you know how to do YouTube, if you know how to do all these different things, and sweep and, you know, do your laundry, you can learn how to swing a hammer, use a screw gun, you know how to do that. So we're going to teach that. And then individuals throughout the city that have a proven track record. You know, everybody has their personal vendettas or personal, I don't know what it's called, self-esteem issues, I would say, with individuals, and it's all about me within Minnesota. And for me, I'm knocking that garbage off, and I'm going to say individuals with a proven track record, I don't care if it's Louis King, I don't care if it's Richard Copeland, I don't care if it's Storka, well, whoever it is, but we're going to sit down at a table, and we're going to say, this is the plan, what we need to do for the Black community, and this is how we're going to do it. This is the trainings we're going to do. This is the money that we're going to receive. This is how much we're going to pay everybody for the labor. And this is what we're, and these are the renderings that we're going to have after we're done. And we have to show Minneapolis City Council that, and we're going to have to push them to do what's right, to give us this money so we can actually enact some of these things and actions within our own community. And it's time for us to all do that conglomerately together.
Yeah, and I agree 100%. And I also want to talk real quick here about this. This is in line with this. Not only does this show report news, it's focused to the Black American population here in the state of Minnesota as well as around the country, but we invite all listeners. Again, you're listening to Our Black News on Blog Talk Radio. And I was a little bit set back when I was got in my car yesterday to go to Starbucks, because I got to have coffee in the morning, some good coffee. And the Deutsche Bank did a study. Deutsche Bank is a huge bank overseas and in the United States, of course. The Black and Hispanic Americans face a racial tech gap in the next 20 years. And they were saying that over 89% of Blacks and Hispanics in the United States will not be qualified to work in any tech field at all if the current trajectory keeps running, which means that there's going to, unemployment numbers are already double digits. So when you hear on these different stations and these different radio things and TV news stations that unemployment in Minnesota is 7.9%, you know, it swelled because of this or because of that, if you break that down further into micros, you'll see that there's a number for the Black and Hispanic and Asian and Somali communities that are in double digits. So those numbers are in double digits. So we're looking at something here where, you know, I'm listening to all the rhetoric, like we have all these STEM schools. We're doing STEM this, we're doing STEM that. So the Deutsche Bank does this study that plainly says whatever you're doing is not working, because in the current track, there's going to be 89 to 90% of Black and Hispanic men and women in the United States that will not qualify or will not be qualified to work anywhere in tech. It's as simple as using Google, like you said, Jonathan. It's as simple as operating a Zoom meeting. It's as simple as operating a Google Meet. A lot of this technology that's very important for students as well as adults to know are not getting into the community. So when we get back to all this shooting in St. Paul, I mean, there's someone stealing a motorcycle, a bike, a car, carjacking someone every 3 days.
And real quick on that, absolutely. When we've seen the kid, Andre, 17, who got shot. So that I forget the day on it. I think it was like Sunday or maybe Monday. The next day, police presence, and I went live again, and it was off of 26 in Emerson. I'm going live, and so I'm trying to figure out what's going on. Everybody's saying, "Well, police have to throw around the house." What it was, where kids were literally, and this is the violence that we're talking about. Some kids were stole a car, a BMW. They were all over the city, right? Shooting at random people, just shooting guns at them, robbing just random people, beating up, hitting, and just and trying to hit people with their car, high speed chases all throughout the city, just terrorized the whole city. Then they eventually got caught. They flipped the drop top BMW in the alley, ran in somebody's house, just somebody random's house, and the police sent the dogs in there. Luckily, they didn't get killed. But this is what's going on. And so when we don't, when you say we have double digit unemployment numbers in the Black and Hispanic communities with no, I'm talking no economic plan. We
yes.
don't have a plan for the Black community. What is it going to look like in the next 3 to 5 years? Is it going to be back to mass incarceration if Joe Biden wins? What are they planning? And that's my big suggestion. I think Donald Trump's going to win, but what if Joe Biden's here? They have the number one prosecutor that locked up black men in California. So now, when you have that, are they planning to do another mass incarceration because of the violence and the criminality within these communities of color because of this environment? And there's no plan. And when there's a lack of guidance, there's nobody saying, you know what, enough is enough. Not within my own community. I'm actually currently right in Chicago. My family's on the west side of Chicago, Bear Cake Town. I'm right here at the heart of it all. And I'm like, wow, what's wrong? And I talked to one of my aunties, was a former Panther in the 60s, and she said, maybe they have no plan. There's no plan. There's
yeah.
no economic plan. And so this is what we're running into. And I think within Minneapolis, we have to do it immediately. If we won't, Stillwater will be filling up.
Yeah, and I have to agree with that 100%. You know, I have been looking at several different organizations and several different state agencies that have historically been out of compliance as far as it pertains to contract compliance for different groups of people to be working. And I want to get people straight. You know, I don't want you to get offended or be upset because we're talking about Black Minnesota and Black Minnesotans. Because there is a problem. I think that anybody in Minnesota should be able to drive, eat, dance, walk, sleep, sing, smile in any city, in any area in the state without being or having to be worried about being shot and killed or stabbed or robbed. I drove through downtown Minneapolis last night. Why are people going to the clubs like they are? I mean, just stuff like that, that it just doesn't make any sense. And Mr. Tucker, I hope he calls in today, he usually tells me, you know, it's not us, because we have a bad habit in the Black community of blaming all our troubles on white folks, okay, especially in Minnesota. And there are community leaders here, or what I call community whacktivists, who always blame things on white folks here in Minnesota. And Mr. Tucker always tells me, he's almost 80 years old, he says, Don, it's not them, it's us. He goes, Don, it's not them, it's us. And then, you know, Jonathan, Anthony, and I, we're kind of in the same wavelength when we come to understanding things and seeing things and understanding solutions about what's going on. And when you step to these people, like the president of the Minneapolis Urban League, Steve Belton, I asked him to come on to talk about the NAACP. Never answered me. I didn't think they were. And so I asked him, at least he reached out and said, okay, I'm not going to do it. But they are scared because what Jonathan said is they do not have a plan. There is no plan. So this mayhem is going to continue, and they're waiting on winter time to try to shut it down. Winter,
right.
And winter's not going to shut it down. We saw that all last winter, the number of robberies, murders. We have the young kids over in the Cedar Riverside area carjacking people, taking their money, their wallet, their purses in St. Paul. St. Paul is off the hook. And we don't have any accountability, you know, between the adults and the youth. Nobody's talking to these kids 12 to 30 years old. And yeah, you're 30
right.
years old if you're a kid, because I'm 20 years older than you. So I don't mean that.
And I totally agree. They are kids because they haven't really had a real job because of the economic despair within Minneapolis. We have no leadership, and you said it. We reach out to these organizations that are saying that they're in leadership roles within our community, and they're not doing, pardon my language, what? Jack shit. I hate to say it. And so now when we reach out to these kids, I have these youth here. We know how to get them to work. I know how to have cleaning initiatives. If they shoot, they want to pay us, shoot, $200,000 or $300,000, I'd have the whole north side cleaned up. Oh, my goodness. And but the problem is they like the broken window theory. They like these areas of despair, because for those in communities that know how to now come into other communities and rehab it, and they call it gentrification, they know how to do it. And so now it's time for us to, like, not stop, crackheads some help. You know, I say it right to their face. We need to get them rehabilitation.
Mm-hmm.
We need to get them off of Lindell and Broadway. You're not going to sit up at Merle and Flicker shooting at each other, shooting dice on the border, drinking out of the liters of liquor as the kids are on their way to school, because we have to have public transportation in Minneapolis public schools. So they're waiting for the bus as somebody's shooting up heroin, robbing them.
Yeah.
And this is why I say enough is enough. It's time for us to activate. I know people are getting this grant money. I don't mind you getting the grant money. Actually do something with it, whether you're mad dad. And shout out to PJ. I know he's trying. Like I said, I was telling KJ, KG and them, because KG was out there. And I like the brother KG. Shout out to KG Wilson, by the way, because their brother has been talking about this crime within our and violence within our community, while others are, you know, protesting the police like myself. But I am also talking about this crime. A lot of people call it black-on-black crime. But I would say the extreme levels of crime within our community due to systematic racism. And so I need to undo these thematics within our community. But what happens is groups like the NAACP, who are nervous to hell, come back to, you know, our black news when we only want to question them and say, what is your economic plan for the black community? And it shouldn't be that hard, Don.
Yeah. And Jonathan, go ahead, Anthony.
But this COVID, they really seem to just have everything off balance now with this COVID thing. I mean, now there's a whole other issue in dealing with this. All of a sudden, you'll hear everything on the news is about COVID. It's about death. It's about, but then you see these big gatherings. You see these things. Nobody has on any masks. They say if they have masks on, that it'll take care of it. And masks are supposed to be that. And so until there's some handle on that, I mean, because that's disrupting the schools, that's disrupting the employment, and that becomes at one point an excuse for why we can't do anything because of COVID. Everything just kind of stops. Now they come up with this defund the police, and nobody knows what that means. Nobody comes up with a job and keeps saying they have no plan. If you want to defund the police, what's your alternative? We have crime, rampant crime in the streets of Minneapolis. Downtown is unsafe. Business is leaving. Lake Street is a mess. It's chaos.
I agree.
We have so many problems. We have so much issues. And this COVID thing, it's almost like as soon as you want to try to get something, oh, we can't do it because of COVID.
Yeah.
Now we're fighting people about wearing masks. People are shooting each other about, well, this guy doesn't have a mask. He coughed on me.
Yeah.
And so we are in a real
mess
right now.
Yeah, and I agree. Sorry for coughing on you guys. But here goes the deal. I would like to touch on something that both of you said, or you said two different things, but Jonathan talked about the hiring and the cleaning up of North and South Minneapolis and St. Paul and the dollars that it would take to maybe get 7,000 people employed, you know, unemployed or underemployed. Jonathan, you know as I know that, is that too right? That will work. So after 40 years of blighted areas in Minneapolis and St. Paul, here goes this new guy, Jonathan Mason. He gets a grant for a couple $100,000, and he has 7,000 people in St. Paul and Minneapolis employed, youth 14 to 18 years old. They're out of the street. They're not robbing anybody. There's no, you know, they're sleeping on Friday and Saturday night, you know, because they know on Sunday they have to go to work Monday morning.
They're so tired. They said they worked all week, and they say, on Friday and Saturday night, I'm just going to chill.
Yeah.
Maybe take my girlfriend, boyfriend out to the movies or go to Taco and call it a night.
Yeah, and so we don't have that system set up anymore in our community. Not even the middle class or lower middle class white community has that system set up. And this is pre-COVID-19. You know, COVID-19 just shined the light on the cockroaches, basically, what was going on. When I'm saying cockroaches, I'm not talking about the black youth. I'm talking about the state, city, county agencies that have totally ignored these issues that we have to look into and make sure the systems are running correctly. For too long, you know, people like us three here, we have sat back in a news construct and talked about what was happening. But if you do this for 10 years, like most of us have done at some point, and nothing's changed, we got to stop and redirect our actions and place ourselves in leadership roles to get this stuff done. Because this is ridiculous. This is ridiculous. How is it that the same crap that was going on 2 years ago is still going on now? The same crap that was going on 7 years ago is still going on now. There was never an end. There's never an end. And so you know, the city of Minneapolis, the city of St. Paul, and the counties and the state to these nonprofit agencies have forked over in excess of about $200 million. And we have...
And they have more money, too, to fork over, which they put it right along the side, and they say, we'll just give it to these couple groups of individuals. Because actually, Don, and this is the scary point, and I pray this isn't the truth, and I pray that's why if we have to go up to the GOP and ask them for help with the leadership roles within these parties that maybe can help us. But it's scary because are they saying, just give these groups this money so they inaction continue and the destruction within our own communities continues, like it's almost strategically done, because at some point for the last, 50 years, we say 10, 20, the Murderapolis was coined that term in the 90s.
Yes.
It's back up to those numbers right now, this year. And so when do we say enough is enough? We have to put this money in different people's pockets, different people's hands, and it's no disrespect. I say a lot of people's names, and people say, why do you say people's names? Because I have to start seeing the same organizations. We know who these individuals are, whether they're on the school board or, you know, they're running for office or they have their nonprofit. If I see groups, somebody said me, and somebody said neon. What about NAS? They got millions and millions of dollars. Northside Achievement Zone. And, you know, no personal vendetta against Don Samuels, but Don, I'm not Don Allen, but Don Samuels, I reached out to him. I said, what can we do? Let me work with Sandra. What can we do? And what happens is I think I ruffle people's feathers because I actually have economic plans. And we can all get money. Get money if you want it, but don't try to hinder everybody from getting the money. You can see new individuals, new activists come on the scene and they say, you're Jonathan Mason, and then he wants all our grant money. I really don't want no grant money. I actually don't mind working for profit.
Thank you.
And I can work alongside the state and still get profit. And so it's time to now challenge these systems, these governments, to say, you know what? Enough is enough. And I'm not beholden to the NAACP. I don't need no pictures with Leslie Redman or nobody. I'm willing to work with the GOP. I don't care if it's a white man or a white woman. I'm willing to hold hands with them to do this economic plan to bring this change for our communities. And it's time, and like you said, for us to say enough's enough and get in these leadership roles.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, we started this show out, Minnesota GOP leadership silent on black intern killed in North Minneapolis. And it's a testament to what's going on, because I know Jennifer Carnahan. I know Lacey Johnson. I was Barb Davis White's campaign manager in 2008 when she ran against Keith Ellison here in the 5th Congressional District. And I know the dirty tricks the GOP does here, the Minnesota GOP. But if this was a white campaign worker, and I'm not being racist at all, I'm just telling you the difference. If this had been someone that was working on one of the congressional campaigns that wasn't a black 17-year-old, it was a white 17-year-old that was killed in North Minneapolis, the GOP would have done a press junket and been on every news channel across the United, from Fox News to CNN to MSNBC to CBS, you know, declaring Minneapolis a disaster, a war zone, and that we have to do something to fix it because this 17-year-old white campaign worker, Republican campaign worker, was killed in Minneapolis. But now it's a black 17-year-old campaign worker. You can't hide that. I don't care if he was on duty or off duty. The fact was, the day before, he was holding signs up on that corner for Lacey Johnson, who's a GOP, Minnesota GOP endorsed candidate. Okay? He's a black man. Yeah.
You hit a major point. If this was a white Donald Trump supporting activist gunned down, they would have it on Fox News every single day. And I actually don't mind Donald Trump saying, you know what? They sent the National Guard in, right?
Mm-hmm.
They sent the National Guard in for George Floyd, for the protesters. Why don't you send the National Guard in to the North Side and say, you know what? Let's do a whole cleaning initiative. Every single piece of garbage we walk from Victory Memorial all the way down to 394, and we clean up every single piece of garbage. We any crime going on, we stop it, and we do it for 1 week. Can I tell you this, Don? The whole hood would seize up there, like, what the hell is going on? And then we put an economic plan in, it would be over. But see, what happens is we aren't getting the media attention a white kid would get if they were working for a campaign for a Republican. We're not getting the attention because, I hate to say it, they really don't give a damn about us. Michael Jackson sang the song, and people still singing it, and they don't understand. They don't really give up about us. And he was singing it. Now, instead of us keep on singing these, I don't know if it was Tucker, that Mr. Tucker, who said, we're kumbaya in these protests, which he's right. We are doing a little kumbaya, and we need to stop and say, as leaders, it's time to stop kumbaya. We're working for these systems that don't like us. It's time to create our own system and how we do it. You just talked about the technology gap that's coming. We have to now combat that.
Yes.
We're going to say, okay, we can tell you better than we can tell you. I need Google. I need Apple. I need Microsoft. You give us the damn technology to do so right now. And I mean, I'm demanding.
Yeah.
They will. But we don't have any leadership demanding.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
AAP has never reached out to me. Neither do they reach out to you. That's what they'll tell us.
Yeah, and again, if you'd like to call in, our phone lines are wide open. The number is 347-426-3904. Again, that number is 347-426-3904. Standard rate apply. That is a Blog Talk Radio telephone number where you can just call directly into our switchboard. Again, that number is 347-426-3904. What really bugs me about this is the Minnesota GOP and their communication mechanism. Okay. Lacey Johnson has not called a press conference. Okay. The Minnesota GOP has not called a press conference. But yet, we're supposed to support this candidate. We're supposed to support this black man running as a Republican in the second poorest area in the state. He represents one of the second poor. Actually, he represents both of the poorest areas in the state, the Phelps neighborhood and North Minneapolis. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's my question.
Jonathan, I mean, again, back to Mr. Lacey Johnson. I mean, does his candidacy, I mean, does it have a chance? I mean, is all the Republican putting their might behind him, like we're saying? We saw the shooting.
I can tell you that I think Lacey, if he goes a little harder, if he was the champion, people, individuals like myself, I promise you, Lacey would have won easily the CD5. I would have, Ilhan Omar, I would have had debate after debate. I would have been calling her virtual. I would have been Zoom. I would be live Zooming her and telling her, get on the phone now. Let's have a debate. Oh, because Ilhan Omar is not in the city right now.
No.
Everyone.
And you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And just let me get this in real quick here. It's 1011. Again, that number is 347-426-3904. The thing is that Lacey has raised over $4 million. Okay? They have him cutting commercial rather than taking a bunch of that money and going to take over the Urban League. Because all you need is $300,000 and go call Mark Morial. His eyes would get big. He put you in there. Okay? And we have stuff going on in our community that is not working right. So you're cutting commercials. You're playing the political game of running for office in an office that I'm almost 100% sure you will not win in 2020.
He was good in 2020. He could have won it, though.
Yeah.
I absolutely promise you. The GOP, the Republicans, this is what I love. This is when you look at, and this is a good indicator. Let me help you guys with this one. If you go to Fox and go to CNN, and look at one of their posts on whatever, something liberal, you'll see maybe 25,000 likes, okay? If you go to a Fox conservative post, party's happy about, you'll see 200,000 to 300,000 likes on it, okay?
Yeah.
Fine. Now, so when I tell you this, they're behind the editor on the Star Tribune about Lacey Johnson. These white folks love Lacey. These Republican conservatives, they have calling him the token Negro. He needs to run with it. He needs to run. I would run with it. I would be. And he don't even got a tap dance. They give him the money. They can't stand Ilhan Omar.
Yeah.
Oh, he would have. Oh, they can't stand him. And Lacey is your talk. Tuesday, please call into the number that Don gave you earlier because I'm ready to talk to you, brother. You got about a month left, and we can hit the corner and get to running with these economic plans. But you got to speak out. You got to go hard right now. And I'm telling you, if you get me on your team, like, we could absolutely swamp CD5, take it. The Jewish community is behind him. Lacey has the Jewish community. Lacey got all of the absolute.
Yeah, but Jonathan, you're right. He has all these groups behind him. But if there's no bark, there's no bite.
He has to start biting.
Yeah, and he's not doing it. He's sitting there. He's sitting there. Oh, well, you know. It's ridiculous because you have all these opportunities. It's unfortunate that a guy that worked for in your campaign, that was an intern, whatever, you haven't said the whole story. No one knows the whole story. The only thing that you say that there was no, he wasn't involved in any campaign activities that day. That's a misdirect. That's a misdirect from what really happened.
Absolutely, Don. He misdirected it. I would have said, no, he absolutely worked for my campaign because he did, one. And then, two, because that's the truth. And say, two, this is the problems within our community. I got kids who are 10 years old wanting to leave and want to find a new economic plan for themselves, and now they're being gunned down. This is the time that the GOP stands up behind us and all these against these failed policies of the Democrats and these liberals, and it's time to make a change. And this is an economic location. It's all about location, location, location. The North Side is just Apple, a sweetheart in Minneapolis, and we can take it over, and we need to take this crime. He can easily do it, but he needs to stop pandering to the white community. They've already backed him. It's because he fits their economic agenda. They don't care about your damn skin color. They care about that green money.
Yeah.
And so all you got to understand is that, and so do the Democrats. But the Democrats, on the other hand, have us stuck in these low impoverished ideas. They want us on welfare. They want us relying on the system. They do not want us to say, let's go pick up trades and teach the Northsiders that don't even need to go to the University of Minnesota to make $100,000. All they got to do is be a plumber, electrician. They need to learn how to clean out asbestos. And if you learn how to do that, you can make up to $250,000. So these are the type of ideas that we need to be able to help our own community. Lacey has the opportunity. He has the mic. If Lacey, if you are paying attention right now, you could actually take CD5, which is actually half red, more than half red. They want to stand up and say, I supported a black man because they hate Somalis. So he needs to understand if he actually has a plan for the black community, they hate him. We know that Blue Lives Matter didn't stand up for Ahmaud Arbery when Justine Dumont got killed because she was a white woman. We're not silly and stupid. And so now we need to take opportunities for our own community to say enough is enough for the black. Look, Lacey Johnson, I'll get behind Lacey Johnson as a black man if he had an economic program to stop violence within the North Side. I don't care about no titles of a liberal or conservative. I want actual change. So if Lacey's willing to do that, I would stand up behind Lacey, and I think he's able to do that. I know you might think otherwise, but I think he has a chance.
Well, no, I think he has.
Look at the numbers.
Go ahead.
When you look at the primary for the Democrats, I mean, for Ilhan and what was Antoine, I mean, there was like 200,000 votes. 200,000 between those two. I don't understand it. Lacey wins his
for well, Lacey
5 or 10,000 votes. I mean,
right.
I wouldn't vote for Ilhan because she hasn't done anything. She's had a chance to do things and she hasn't done one thing. She's not even campaigning.
But she doesn't have to. You don't have to campaign. You don't have to spend any money when you're trained.
Don't endorse people. But yeah, I'm gonna vote for Lacey because I think she has a chance to do something. Ilhan has done nothing. She's not even campaigning.
Well, again, does she have to campaign in an area that is totally blue? No. She already knows. She doesn't have to spend any of her millions. She doesn't have to do anything. But then again, Lacey Johnson has had multiple opportunities. See, here goes the thing. Forget about President Trump. Okay, let's forget about President Trump. This is Minnesota. Minnesota has a Fox News affiliate that is so far away from Fox News. They're like the liberal version of Fox News. So why can't Lacey come in and talk about an economic plan for all people in the 5th Congressional District, but also address... What's that?
I'm calling Fox News. When I get back from Chicago this evening, I'm calling Fox News, Paul Bloom. I'm sitting Paul Bloom down. Me, him, and Lacey Johnson, damn it, we're going on live, and we're going to talk about what his economic plan is for the North Side and his criminal prevention plan, which I'm going to help break one if you don't got one for him. And so we can actually create the change. I want to actually see Lacey. You know what? I want to see Lacey win. You know, I want CD5, and he can take Crystal. Crystal is Republican.
Yeah.
Plymouth, Minnesota is Republican.
Yeah.
Golden Valley is Republican. Damn it, the North Side with all this damn violence right now, they're leading Republican because they know good and well Joe Biden locked their daddies and mamas up in 1994, and they already are going back to the conservative party. We actually are conservative people, but naturally, because of our skin color, they call us progressive. And so we have to know that and play that ball game and say, hell no, we love money too. We know business. Lacey Johnson, and put Lacey in the position for 2 years and say, Lacey, for 2 years you got the chance to make a big difference. We'll campaign in Plymouth and Crystal and Golden Valley, take the North Side over.
Mm-hmm.
New Hope. These areas are red. Don, they're red.
Okay, I know. I'm fully aware. But the thing is, you have to – you see right now – there's some handlers that he needs to fire. There are some handlers in the Minnesota GOP and that organization in D.C. that does his Twitter and all that other stuff. He needs to get rid of them and save that money and come back here to town and actually campaign. He's not attacking or going after Ilhan Omar at all. I mean, you don't have to attack her. This is you can go to the old school politics and start getting out on the street and talking to the people. He's not doing that.
He needs to
What's that, Anthony? Go ahead.
I'm just saying he just takes the point out. It's like, thinks she has the backing. She thinks she has it. She's not, like you said, why would she campaign? She's getting those numbers to come out for primary.
Yes, you're right.
I think she could be spent up on. I mean, I'm going.
Lacey, I think this year, if Lacey right now, he's on the last stretch, if Lacey takes it and he goes, I'm talking about full-blown politics, don't worry about her being Somali. Don't worry about her having a white husband. Don't worry about her marrying her brother. Don't worry about all this other stuff. Let's focus on where she's at on her ground game. If you can get out there and say, I'm out here in the streets. I was just with Jonathan Mason, live with Mornings of the Mason, live on the dead body of where my campaign crew got murdered on Darling and Fremont, and I'm out here demanding that the police and everybody put an investigation together for my campaign and saying enough is enough, he would win. I'm telling you, if they're not going to beat him up. If he walks through the north side, ain't nobody going to do nothing to Lacey. I'm guaranteed it. Then he can walk with me. The brother's going to give him hugs. We'll go barbecue. We can pander. We can do whatever we want. I will have 20 barbecues set up at North High School, Henry High School. We'll walk through, stop at grandmama's house for a little bit. We could do whatever we needed to win. But see, what happens is, you know what I'm going to end up doing, Don?
And okay.
I'm thinking about it. Hey, so. And I might throw my hat in with the GOP because I think there's a chance I could actually win over the Jewish community. Loves me. We could take the white community and we could just say, you know what? Enough violence in the black community within the North Side would say, you know what? We want to change from this Democratic. We haven't had no Democrat. Ed Graff does it. The school board superintendent Ed Graff does it. Go to the North Side. Who's walking the North Side and South Side? They're not doing it.
Okay, but Jonathan, you know, we need you for the city council in Minneapolis because that whole area there, again, I'm kind of pivoting to this other conversation in our last 10 minutes here of the show. But, you know, there's an article in Star Tribune that came out this week that the city council is asking Minneapolis, where are the police? You know, and it was them who pandered to everyone that said, hey, we're going to defund the police. We're going to defund the police. Now, crime is so rampant, the calls are taking so long to answer, people don't know who to call. And in this case, you really can't call Ghostbusters because it's not a thing, you know?
Right. And you're right. But I think Mr. Scott talked about it. These liberals or others in the community claim to be leaders. They'll throw out these claims with no plan. And when you say defund the police, you have to let people know, uneducated people, that that kind of actually means diverting the funds into appropriate places that actually can help the police. So, for example, if there's a mental health call, we don't call the police for a mental health call. We call mental health practitioners and people who are psychologists to actually go upon the scene in a nonviolent manner to now stop the risk of a police-involved shooting because you need to have the
correct... You still okay? I'm gonna halfway agree with you on that because you send two psychologists to someone's home that is having an episode, and that person has a 9mm. Those two psychologists better be trained like police officers and have a weapon. Okay, you can't send them in their butt naked. You send them in their butt naked, they're gonna come out looking like Swiss cheese. Okay, with holes all in them. And the thing is, I mean, I get it. I get that the escalation, but we're always going after the police. The police did this. The police did that. We never go after the city councils, the mayors, and the governors who give the police their marching orders, you know, and tell them what to do. You know, and then.
Yeah, in Minneapolis, it's still who's really in charge of it? Just talking about the police, who's in charge? Is it the mayor? Is it the chief? Is it
Yeah.
They have no. Who's in charge?
Yeah.
Right.
I can't tell you.
I'll tell you, it's not Hennepin County District Attorney Mike Freeman because they just told him his sloppy work. And he can't be the chief because the chief answers to the mayor, but the mayor is giving it to. They couldn't make no decision, so they had to give it to the governor, and the governor was scared to do it, so he gave it to Keith Ellison. So is Keith in charge? Because now Keith is saying that it's a hard job to get these officers. I don't know
going on? You know what? And we have to bring St. Paul into this conversation because I'm over here in St. Paul, and I don't know. I don't know who's in charge over here, really. You know, I mean, you got the Hennepin County commissioners, you got the city council, you got people running around with the like chickens with their nose cut off. It's like, okay, what are you gonna do? We have University Avenue, looks like between Dale Street and Snelling, looks like someone dropped some mortar shells on some buildings. And so we're sitting here. I'm like, wait, is this? Sorry, be quiet, Google. So what's going on? Who's in charge? Where are the jobs for these kids? These kids are walking the street all day, all night. They're getting into mayhem. There's no opportunities, and we understand that you have to work to eat. You have to work to live. You have to work to understand what work is and how to get ahead. Because I'm gonna tell you guys, you give the majority of this population that is unemployed and underemployed a little taste of success, they're going to be hungry, and they're going to figure out themselves how to take it to the next level. Because, you know, there's a saying, you can give a man a fish or you can teach a man to fish, okay?
Right,
when are we going to
start? And I think that's what needed to be done because I think tragic liberal society is afraid of that because they've got – so many people in these positions of I want to be, I call it white saviorism. So they have so many jobs that are surrounded by our despair, where when we say, oh, we're good now, we don't need all this psychology, we don't need all your pills, we don't need us going to jail, we actually have our own businesses, it will start leaning towards a more Republican, conservative type of mentality in these areas, like a Texas, like a Tennessee, like a Florida, because black communities that are Atlanta's really actually, they say that it's Democratic, but they're more conservative way of thinking because that per capita, there's the most black businesses down there. When we start actually, if we go to the party, right,
mm-hmm.
we have parties. If you're in a Republican state, you're all business owners. Black folks are going to party how we do, regardless. I was with black entrepreneurs this weekend at my, because I'm actually in Chicago right now, and my family, they got businesses, they got stuff going on, but they still cook catfish, and they still cook, and we still go have a good time, and we still go play our music. That ain't got nothing to do with us getting money. And so what happens is Democratic liberal areas want to play like they can. They tell us how to party.
Yeah.
They want us how much to tell us how much money we got. And so this is the problem with it. And I think Minnesota is going to be in danger of its liberalism if black folks in the north side say, oh, no, we actually make it over here teaching us how to start businesses. We don't need to go to fight for colleges or none of that. And we're actually making our own money and we're really having our own houses in these areas. And gentrification can happen. And
that's
so
right.
That's what I think that's what happened.
Yeah.
Hey, Don, I got to get going, you guys. I love you guys. Today was a fabulous show. Thank you so much, Mr. Scott, for tuning in. I got to get going.
Yeah, I understand. I understand. We'll see you next week. Same bat channel, same bat time. Anthony and I will wrap it up. Thank you, Jonathan.
Right, thank you so much.
Yes, Jonathan Mason from Mason in the Morning and Live with Mason, the co-host here. And now we're with special co-host, guest co-host, Anthony Scott, who's we have a couple more minutes left in the show. We're going to run past a little bit past 10:30 because I think that, you know, Jonathan brought up some amazing points. And, again, you're listening to Our Black News and our call-in. Our listener call-in line is 347-426-3904. I have a lady kind of going backwards and forth with me on Facebook, and she wants to call in. She can definitely call in. But I think that the Minnesota GOP and Lacey Johnson are scared to step up and say something about what happened and what's going on in this city. I think they're afraid to go after Ilhan Omar the way that they need to make a difference in the community. And I know there are respectful ways to talk about another candidate. I know Lacey is intelligent enough to know how to articulate his common points in a way that everybody can understand, but also point at Ilhan Omar, Congresswoman Ilhan Omar's lack of engagement other than celebratory type items here in Minneapolis. As Jonathan said, she's not in town, and that's understandable. She has a place in Washington, she has or in D.C., and she has a husband out there. And so, yeah, she's going to be at home where she does best. But the thing is, Minneapolis and St. Paul is a war zone. Downtown Minneapolis, people, the number of people that are getting robbed and shot and beat just for no reason at all, it's a shame. So how do we fix that? How do we go back to the bare bones of stuff and start getting people economic inclusion? I'm not talking about giving anybody money for free, okay? That's not what I'm talking about. And the Minnesota GOP has to be one of the cogs in the wheel. Right now, they're so the leadership of the Minnesota GOP is so Trump. This is Minnesota. That is not going to bode well for you in Minnesota. And can you focus on Minnesota, the 5th Congressional District, the 4th Congressional District? Betty McCulloch, who is the 4th CD, St. Paul congressperson, nobody's seen her. Nobody's seen her in weeks or months. But yet she ran for 4th CD congressional in the primary, and boom, she got thousands of votes over the Republican candidate. But yet, where's Betty? There was a thing going around, you know, can anybody find Betty? We can't find her. But she just automatically gets in because there's a D by her name. When are we going to start as a community, yellow, red, black, and white, asking these politicians, say, hey, this is my list right here on my hand. What about this? What about this? What are you doing about this? When is this going to happen? How can you make this? They don't have to, because we're treating them like celebrities. And Lasco, go ahead, Anthony, your words.
I think you're right on that. But I think it's going to take the community to come up with what we want. This is what we want. We need better housing. We need better education. These are the things that we need. And so how are we going to get this done?
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to come up with plans because they're getting votes just because, like you say, they have the big D in front of them,
which is
fine. But what are you doing? We're not holding them accountable. They're able to run their game without any real opposition. So I'm really curious. I'm really interested to really see how this comes out with Lacey Johnson, because he is getting money. He is he's getting exposure, but it's also a slippery slope, especially with this shooting.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, you know, the feeling is he should come out and say more about it, but the press has a way of turning these things around against him. They have a way of coming out or something and say, oh, wow, this was unsafe. He had a young man out in that community. They have a way of spinning these things. So I think he's hopefully just kind of sitting back. He's getting momentum. He's getting TV. He's getting money. And hopefully, and again, I don't know who his campaign people are. They don't seem to be a very strong team.
They don't seem to even look like us. Go ahead.
I don't see them coming into the community. I don't see it really marketing him to the community. So I don't know what a season.
Yeah, they don't know how.
Maybe you can volunteer and be part of it.
Well, you know what? I for 2 months in a row with Lacey. And for full disclosure, I have nothing to hide. For full disclosure, for each month he gave me $500. He said, get on social media, put my name out there, post my events, do this and do that. Everything he asked, I did. The third month, I wasn't looking for no money because it was a primary. And Ilhan Omar, 90,000 votes, you can't beat 90,000 votes. But then again, you ask someone to do something. I have experience being a campaign manager, okay, for a Republican running for Congress in that district. And he says, this is what you should do, or this. And he has a team. And this team is telling him, oh, you have to cut television commercials. Okay, Lacey Johnson needs the core of the 18 to the 30-year-olds to vote for him. Are they putting the commercials on local TV stations? That's going to fall on deaf ears, except for old guys like us, okay? Are they putting it on social media? I haven't seen any. Are they putting it on TikTok, on Instagram, on YouTube? Are they really getting in and touching these people in a way that they know that it's safe? You can't connect yourself with President Trump in Minneapolis, in the 5th Congressional District. I don't care if you're black or white. Well, in this case, you're a black man, GOP endorsed. And then say, you know, you need to vote for me without giving people a reason why they should vote for you. Okay, Ilhan Omar, like you said, hasn't really done that much other than spar with Trump all the time on Twitter. I mean, that's cool. But how much of that is she actually really doing? Okay, and a company is doing. Okay, and so let's get back to the point where we go back to old school politics, where we don't treat these politicians as celebrities, but we treat them as public servants that are expected to make sure our communities are viable, that our youth are working, that our young adults are working, that adults have an opportunity to go to school, get in the trades, et cetera, et cetera. Right now, it's just a cesspool of craziness to the point where most everybody, I don't care what color you are, if you're black, sometimes it's not safe to go into a black neighborhood. If you're Hispanic Latino, sometimes it's not safe to go into a Hispanic Latino neighborhood in the Twin Cities. And so on and so on and so on. So why should I have to watch my back in a neighborhood that with people that look like me? What's that about? It's not about right or left anymore. It's about who's on top and who's on the bottom. And we have a lot of people right now on the bottom that think by robbing me, robbing you, Anthony, taking someone's car or taking an older lady's purse, is that they can get ahead. And we know that's not the case. So with that said, I'd like to thank everybody for listening to Our Black News. We come on live every Saturday morning on Blog Talk Radio. This podcast is available on Blog Talk Radio. Just Google Blog Talk Radio, Our Black News, and it pops right up. I appreciate everybody who listened today. We've been on since 9:30. This is about an hour-long show. Sometimes we go a little bit over. That's okay. And we'll be back next Saturday, and I'm going to actually reach out to Lacey and see if we can get him here.
Yeah.
And just say, hey, you know, we need to get you on the show, and we need to talk this out. And we'll do a 90-minute special because we need to take him, you know, out to the shed and see how he turns out afterwards. Respectfully, of course, okay? And just say, hey, dude, you know, this is what's going on. What are you going to do? How are you going to – and what can we do to help? Again, this show does not endorse any candidates. We've never, for the 11 years we've been on, we've never endorsed one candidate. And we've had Republicans from Senator Roger Chamberlain to Senator Mark Thuram. We had Democrats, Ray Dean, a couple other folks on. And we don't endorse candidates. We let our listeners decide who they like by what they say here on this show, which is that's how it should be, right? So, again, as usual,
I'll let you tell it, Don.
Yeah. So we'll let James Brown take us away. Come on, James. Come on. James has a 4-second delay today for some reason.
Put your bad stuff.
Thanks for listening. I'm Don Allen. That's Anthony Scott. That's Baseball Living. And thank you for listening to Our Black News. Have a good weekend.
We've been.